And this gets to the question that I was asking you on the other side of the break, Hanok.
Yes.
So, yeah, the elephant in the room, the thing that has divided people who are coming from the Christian side like me and people who are coming from the Jewish side like you, and it is just what is this idea or concept of Messiah?
Right.
Yeah, and some quite often, I think all the time, actually, we're using the same word, and we have sort of kind of the same idea in a ballpark, at least, but there are significant differences that we never do talk about. And I really appreciate it when you stood up at the Bina Summit in Mesa and shared the Jewish perspective on Messiah. Would you mind sharing that with us now?
I don't mind at all. This is... I've been doing this for many years and actually have been doing it a lot more often lately. You know, the question that I'm confronted with all the time is, why don't you believe Yeshua is Mashiach? So what I always say is it's not a question of believing Yeshua is or isn't. The question is, what is the Jewish understanding of the Mashiach? Now, Mashiach, by the way, just means anointed. All the kings of Israel were anointed. Okay? So so let's demystify the term, number one. But we're talking about the person who brings the ultimate redemption. So I say to people, listen, the Jewish understanding is the Mashiach, a human being, ruler of Israel, empowered to make world peace. You know, the wolf lays with the lamb. No more wars, no women being sold into sex slavery, no devastation on the planet, all those kind of good things. The exiles are ingathered, and the temple is rebuilt unless it's already built. So when I share this to people in the Hebraic Roots movement, they look at me dumbfounded. And they say, Hanoch, silly goose, that's what Yeshua is coming back for. So the answer is, and the moment he comes back and does that, then there's not a Jewish person on earth that wouldn't say he's the Mashiach. But our understanding, and again, no offense to anyone, we originated the concept. Our understanding is that these things will be done. And that's when the person who does them gets the title.
Mm.
So, you know, so there's no need to argue about it because we're all waiting for the final redemption. We're all waiting for the exiles to be ingathered. We're all waiting for there to be peace on earth. So what is it we're arguing about? Duh. To me, it's the silliest argument on the planet.
You know, it's funny what you just said. I couldn't help but chuckle. You said something like, we were the original thinkers of this or something. The concept of Mashiach.
It's our concept.
Exactly.
It's our concept. No offense to anybody, but it is. So, you know.
You have a vested interest in this, right?
But that's the difference. We don't go around the world telling people they need to accept our understanding. I get it all the time. Now, you got to understand, I've been pushing the restoration of all of Israel for almost 23 years now amongst Ephraim. And I constantly encounter people who won't let me in the front door, no matter how open I am, because my views don't square with theirs. Now, I'm not excluding anybody. I don't question anyone's understanding or vision or view or belief, but they won't allow me in. See, that's the whole thing. It's like people say, yeah, but Hanoch, you have to accept Yeshua. Now, what does that term accept mean? Accept for what? I just explained to you what our expectation and understanding of the Mashiach, of the Messiah, is. Okay? And then I say, where did you get the concept of this need for the Jewish people to accept, quote-unquote, Yeshua? Does it come from the Torah? The Torah. Now, then they hem and haw, and I said, in this case, don't give me a New Testament example. Because there are two things Yeshua never had in his lifetime. One was a New Testament, and one was a church to study it in. His Bible, his understanding, was strictly the Torah, was the Tanakh. That was his frame of reference. Show me in the Torah where it says that anyone has to, quote-unquote, accept Messiah, quote-unquote. And again, I'm not questioning your view. And let me then follow that up further with an understanding that was given to me years ago by Eddie Chumney. Eddie, who laid out for me that the entire New Testament was based around Matthew 15:24, when Yeshua said he is but come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who are the lost sheep of the house of Israel? You guys. But let me step back from that a second, and I'll pick that up again in a moment. Because the other reason people don't want to come and listen to me or allow me to come to their congregations is because they say, wait a minute, it says no one comes to the Father except through me. So if this guy hasn't accepted Yeshua, then why are we listening to him? But you know what? Everyone in this movement tells me that they believe Yeshua to be the Torah made flesh, right? The Word made flesh.
Right.
The actual perfect embodiment of the observance of the Torah. Okay? So if Yeshua equals the Torah, well, wait a second. Your Jewish brothers and sisters have never given up the Torah. We never have. Now, you may not like what we've done with it. We can discuss that someday over ice cream. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But if Yeshua equals the Torah, and we already have the Torah, and everyone in this movement tells me it's Yeshua that's brought them to the Torah, let's go back to Matthew 15:24. So who are the lost sheep of the house of Israel? That was your side of the family. We weren't lost. We had not given up the Torah, number one. And number two, at that point in history, we're no longer referred to as the house of Israel. We were the house of Judah.
Yeah. So what you have just said, Hanok, is earth-shattering, groundbreaking, and stepping on lots of toes.
Actually, I think it's kind of brain-dead simple, to be honest with you.
No, it's, well, you know, it is, this is the thing,
I'm not, I'm not questioning your view. I'm not questioning your belief at all.
No.
In fact, I totally understand it. What I'm trying to get through to your listenership is that they should have a fraction of that open mind and open heart that I have for my son of family.
You know, this is the thing, audience. One of the things I appreciate about Hanok, aside from his heart, is he is intellectually honest. He's not arguing, is he?
Not at all.
No, and that is the point. And because, what you're getting, well, what you is, say.
This,
oh, go
this
ahead,
is,
Daniel.
This is what I was gonna say. You mentioned something interesting. Where does it say in the Torah that you have to accept him? Okay, so that was your argument. But I always say something very similar to, and that is, where does it say in the Bible that you have to say a sinner's prayer? Where is that prayer in the Bible? Right? Where is that? Where is it that I go through this litany of words that all of a sudden opens up this magic door and I walk into it and say that? And my contention is, it
Daniel,
is no way.
That's something you guys are going to have to wrestle
with.
No, but
here's the point. It's a similar point, and I'm trying to get to the point. The point is that it's nowhere in the Bible, but that is because the very fact of a relationship with Messiah and his Father is heart action. It's not word. And the word says that no man goes to the Father unless he draws him, unless the Ruach draws him. So who am I to sit here and try to beat up Hanok Young, right, because he believes differently to me? He's not going to believe in, and Hanok, I'm just using as an example, he's not going to believe anyway unless the Father draws him. Who am I? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are times when we have this stimulating intellectually this discussion based upon scripture with our various Jewish brothers. But it doesn't have to be out of animosity. Whatever. Mm-hmm. We disagree. That's fine. The very fact that we are family, though, right? How many times have you all, and Hanok, you came from America. How many times have you guys been around the Thanksgiving table with your family and a discussion got heated or whatever the case may be and you disagreed? But you still walked away family, right? Why is it all of a sudden we say, no, Hanok, you can't come to my house for Thanksgiving because you don't believe the Red Sox are, you know, better than the Yankees?